VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. We are scheduled to have with us Dr. Peter McCullough here today on the program, and trying to make connection with him this afternoon for a very critical, important interview as it relates to certainly the shot and the COVID-19 and the truth behind the shot. And we're just connecting with him right now. Ladies and gentlemen, President Biden just recently addressed governors from around the country. I mean, ears perked up when he said there was no federal solution to the dealing with the challenges of the coronavirus pandemic. I mean, this comes in great contrast to the campaign that he waged in which he promised to shut down the virus. The White House has been backpedaling concerning this statement, as well as many have been asking, if there's no federal solution, why the four shots? Why all the mandates from the federal government? And it was not too many days ago in which the president indicated, we are intent on not letting Omicron disrupt work and school for the vaccinated. You've done the right thing, and we will get through this. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, the hospitals. You may soon overwhelm. Well, our guest today has warned that we're in the middle of a major biological catastrophe. He has also indicated that the media and the government censorship related to COVID-19 treatments have caused untold harm, contributing to many deaths, and has called the COVID shot a form of bioterrorism. Yet he's been censored. He's been said that he has promoted misinformation and falsehoods about COVID-19, the vaccines, and the treatments. To some, he is public enemy number one. Our guest today, Dr. Peter McCullough, he's an internist, a cardiologist, an epidemiologist managing the cardiovascular complications of both the viral infection and the injuries developing after the COVID-19 vaccine in Dallas, Texas. Since the onset of the pandemic, he's been a leader of the medical response to the COVID-19 disaster and has published a pathophysiological basis and rationale for early outpatient treatment of SARS-CoV-2, that's the COVID-19 infection. This is the first synthesis of sequence multi-drug treatments of ambulatory patients infected with COVID-19 in the American Journal of Medicine. He has some 51 peer-reviewed publications on the infection and has commented extensively on the medical response to the COVID-19 crisis. He's testified before a committee of the U.S. Senate, several state legislative bodies as well, the chief medical advisor for the Truth for Health Foundation, and considered among the world's experts on COVID-19. Dr. McCullough, thank you so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Well, thanks for having me. That introduction was really worrisome. I have a hard time believing I'm public enemy number one. You know, no one's actually ever approached me and had a discussion that they disagree with me.
Truly amazing. You wouldn't know that from listening to the media or from some of those in some of the government offices right now. And Dr. McCullough, we've got so much to unpack today. I mean, we've been told over and over again that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Is that true or is that false?
It's impossible. Most Americans have taken the vaccine. We're a highly vaccinated country. 200 million people have taken the vaccine. It's clear we have the Omicron outbreak now, which we've just set all new records. There's more people now with COVID-19 than there was at any time before the vaccines ever came out. So we can't blame the unvaccinated for what's going on right now. We have data from Denmark, from South Africa, and from the United States that over 70% of COVID patients are fully vaccinated.
You have called the COVID shot a form of bioterrorism. Tell us what you mean by that and how the shot works.
No, those aren't my words. You know, the vaccines are a medicinal attempt on trying to induce immunity. And what they do is they code for the spike protein on the surface of the virus called the spike protein. That's the part of the virus that has all the danger loaded into it. And they are genetic transfer technology programs. And so they loaded on lipid nanoparticles. They get injected to the body. They get taken up in a mosaic of cells. Each person, we don't know which cells, which organs are going to take it up. And then they start producing the spike protein, which itself is dangerous. The spike protein can be produced. It's been studied by Ogata and colleagues from Harvard, showing it circulates in some people up to a month. The messenger RNA may last several months. In a paper by Karagoukalis and myself, we've published that. And we now know, now that the spike protein that's actually produced in the cells, in the tissues, and circulates broadly, that stays in the body now, we think, for over a year. Paper by Bruce Patterson has shown this from in the respiratory illness, and now Banzo and colleagues after the vaccine. So with each injection, there is an installation of the spike protein that was manipulated in a lab in Wuhan, China, and now it takes over a year to clear it out. So you can imagine with shot one and shot two and boosters, the human body never gets a chance to get rid of this dangerous spike protein.
Okay, so if a person takes shot one only, that would eventually wear off. If they get shot one, shot two, after about a year, that would wear off?
Right.
And same with the booster?
Well, then it would take another year. And so you can imagine a booster that comes in at 6 months, now we're already behind. The body doesn't have the ability to clear it out as quickly. It starts to stack up. It's almost like a conveyor belt where the packages keep stacking up.
Could you comment also on the any link between heart disease after the COVID shot and that compared to those who have not had the COVID shot? I mean, I think there was a world-renowned cardiologist, a Dr. Malhotra out of the UK, talking about evidence of heart disease after the shot, but not being published because of out of fear. Any comments on that? Is there a link?
Well, the common form of adult heart disease called atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, or another common illness called heart failure or myocardial disease, in theory, they could be worsened by the vaccines because the vaccines cause a tremendous triggering of internal inflammation, and inflammation is on some of these risk predictor models. And there are reports of heart attacks and strokes happening after the vaccine. But the one type of heart disease that it's agreed upon by the FDA and all the regulatory authorities and the manufacturers that actually is directly caused by the vaccines is myocarditis or heart inflammation. And it's occurring in large numbers. Our CDC has told us now we have over 16,000 cases of myopericarditis that they've certified, 16,000. They only had 200 back in June. This is heart inflammation, where we know the spike protein damages cells in the heart. Individuals get very sick. They present with chest pain, EKG changes, signs and symptoms of heart failure. Young people, a large fraction get hospitalized, and some stay in the hospital for days. We know in a paper from Tracy Hogue, University of California, Davis, a paper by myself and Jessica Rose, in Current Problems of Cardiology, and a paper by Truong from the University of Utah at Salt Lake, it all indicates that myocarditis is serious. It's related to heart damage. It peaks at around age 17, but the tail of this distribution goes all the way out to age 50, 90% men, 10% women. Myocarditis, heart damage. The FDA advises against Pfizer and Moderna because of this reason.
You said they advise against Pfizer and Moderna?
Right.
Okay, and they have recently talked against the J&J shot as well?
Right. So on J&J, the FDA advises against that shot because of blood clots in the brain of women ages 18 to 49 called cavernous venous thrombosis, and then paralysis that happens after J&J called Guillain-Barré syndrome. That's an ascending paralysis. So these FDA warnings effectively tell the person considering the vaccine, it tells them, listen, this can happen. And many individuals, in my view, it should be taken as a pretty severe warning that if these things can happen and the FDA says they can, that in fact the vaccines caused them. And now that we know the vaccines, they only had partial coverage against Delta, and it looks like no coverage against Omicron. We're left with a situation now where one who was going to participate in the vaccine research program for the United States would really have to think carefully about this.
Yet at the same time, we continue to be told over and over and over again that the shot is safe and effective.
Without any data. Remember, safe and effective has to be proven. So those who make that claim have to basically show us the results that they're safe and effective.
Yeah. Were you concerned at the speed at which this shot came about? I mean, as a physician, were you concerned by the rapidness? Were there shortcuts taken that concerned you at all?
Yes. I published an op-ed in The Hill in August of 2020 before the vaccines came out. I said they're moving too fast. They've picked a dangerous type of mechanism where they had to install the Wuhan wild-type protein in the human body. I didn't like the idea of having an uncontrolled production of a lethal protein for an uncontrolled duration of time. in the human body. That was a giant science experiment. It looked bad from the beginning. It's much different than a tetanus shot. You know, a tetanus shot gives a small amount of a harmful substance, tetanus toxoid, and the body fights it off and you get immunity from tetanus. It wasn't like a tetanus shot at all. This is an uncontrolled exposure of spike protein. Some people must take up too much of it for too long, produce it, and sadly, in over 20,000 people in the U.S. CDC, their system, it's been lethal.
Yes, yes. Again, I repeat that, over 20,000 people. And that is within what, how many days since receiving the shot? Is that within the 14 days? Is it longer periods than that?
We know in general, analyses by Rose and McLachlan have shown half the deaths occur within 48 hours, so it's a quick death, and 80% occur within a week.
Wow. We keep reading, though, and we keep hearing stories on the nightly news. Hospitals are overwhelmed with unvaccinated people. With what you said, how do we account for that? Are they lying to us?
We don't see any data to support that. I think it's an unsupported talking point. Hospitals aren't overwhelmed in any region or system that I'm seeing. We'd be happy to look at data, but I think they're unsupported claims.
Mm-hmm. And so why are so many people who've had the shot, why are they more susceptible to Omicron or to the other variants coming forth? Or again, we're told that this will be, if they do get COVID, it's going to be a much more milder form.
We have data to suggest that with the wild type alpha, beta, gamma variants, that the vaccines had maybe 90% vaccine efficacy, and it dropped down to about 70% vaccine efficacy against those variants. With Delta, we never had confidence that we had any significant coverage. In fact, with Delta, the coverage could have been less than 50% protection with Delta. And now, sadly, with Omicron, there's no suggestions at all that there's any coverage. And so it's wide open right now. Those who are vaccinated are getting Omicron as easily as those unvaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that COVID shots are prolonging the pandemic, or is there no connection between the two?
Yeah, they are. They clearly prompted the Delta outbreak, and papers by Neeson and Arcevedo made that point conceptually that we should always have a diversity of strains, and because we provoke this with the very narrow, incomplete immunity of vaccination, we basically promoted resistant strains or strains that can break through immunity. Now, sadly, the Omicron variant, we were doing great with natural immunity. Natural immunity was robust, complete, and durable against the other variants. Now it's clear that natural immunity has failed because we've, in a sense, generated a bug that can break through immunity. Now, interestingly, this version of SARS-CoV-2 appears to be a less severe version. It can't invade the body as much. There's relatively few pulmonary symptoms. And we're seeing patients literally get over it in a few days. So it's a milder, briefer syndrome, Omicron. Many are saying that it feels like getting a COVID booster shot. You feel just a little warm, a little fever, and that's it. So Marty Makary from Johns Hopkins was on last night saying that it's like nature's own booster, Mother Nature's booster. And I put out an op-ed in America Out Loud Talk Radio saying the same thing, and so did Daniel Horowitz in The Blaze. So believe it or not, Omicron could be a blessing that's come out of this vaccine program.
Dr. Peter McAuliffe with us here today on Crosstalk. A quick one-minute break, and then we'll be back with more information right here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast does Niagara Falls erode?
Chris, based on historical measurements, the falls has eroded upriver approximately 5 feet per year. In the early 1800s, when Sir Charles Lyell was promoting his millions of years concept, he used Niagara Falls to support his theory. Lyell claimed it was eroding at less than 1 foot per year, thus was tens of thousands of years old. This, he claimed, disproved the Bible. But in reality, Lyell ignored the evidence of rapid erosion. In fact, the erosion rate and the distance of erosion almost exactly points to the Great Flood of Noah's day as the start of erosion of the river's valley. The fact is, Charles Lyell was wrong, and the Bible's still right. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
talking today about the truth behind COVID-19 and the shot. Dr. Peter McAuliffe with us here today on Crosstalk. As we mentioned, he's an internist, a cardiologist, an epidemiologist, and has been considered among the world's experts on COVID-19. Talking about what is happening within this realm right now. I mean, every night we put on the news and we see the statistics, we see the numbers. We're told that is something that is being spread by the unvaccinated. I mean, over and over and over we are told these things, and we are seeing drastic measures that are being put in place, even though it's been said that the Omicron is a much milder variant. Dr. McAuliffe, do you anticipate, will we see additional variants beyond Omicron?
I don't know. This virus gives us a new twist and turn almost every day. You know, there's very few unvaccinated people to even blame on Omicron right now. So almost all the countries are heavily vaccinated right now. And so we know the large numbers of those who have Omicron are fully vaccinated. So it's clearly, in a sense, a problem that's affecting the vaccinated greatly.
I mean, look what's happening within the sports industry right now, you know, whether it be college sports or professional sports. I mean, highly vaccinated numbers, and yet we see games being canceled or cruise ships that are out there that you know, have the vax requirement and being sidelined as a result of so many outbreaks of the virus.
They can't blame the unvaccinated for a fully vaccinated cruise boat. They can't blame the unvaccinated for a fully vaccinated naval ship. I mean, people ought to have common sense when there are no unvaccinated people around.
Yeah.
And COVID-19 is having outbreaks. How can they blame somebody who's not there?
Yeah. We're going to talk about where do we go from here? How do we fight this? But there has been just a whole lot of skepticism put in from higher-ups in D.C. to our media as well as it relates to ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to fight COVID-19. Every time we hear references to ivermectin, we see references to horse paste. Do these have any benefits whatsoever?
Hydroxychloroquine, supported by over 300 studies, it has a modest effect, about a 25% impact on COVID-19. Ivermectin, supported by over 60 studies, more like a 70% impact. Now, we have the Pfizer drug coming along, the kinase like 3 inhibitor plus ritonavir. It looks like about an 80% impact. And the new Merck drug will be about a 30% impact, molnupiravir. So those antivirals play a role, but I have to emphasize, I think the steroids have a bigger effect, and we use prednisone just like we do aspirin. I think that has a much bigger effect on the antivirals. The use of colchicine, the use of oral aspirin, inhaled budesonide, and then the blood thinners. I think there's been way too much focus on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. The other drugs do a lot more.
Okay. You have also have been telling the public across the nation about a special treatment of the nose. Tell us, what should people be doing as they consider COVID-19? And I want us to look at what we should have in our house medical kit. And talk also about your concern for treatment through the nose gate.
Yeah, so the nose really matters. And, I think people have realized that masks don't stop the virus and they don't work, mainly because air goes around the mask and the bug can go right through it. And then people have realized it's not a hand infection. So they've used hand sanitizer for 2 years and it doesn't make a difference because the bug is not in the hands. The bug is in the air and people breathe it in. And so when they breathe in the bug, it goes in the nose. And so it sits in the nose and multiplies for about 3 to 5 days before people start to spread it. So there is quite a chance to zap the bug in the nose. And now there's 9 clinical studies, including a very well-done clinical trial. First off, there's the Chowdhury and colleagues showing that povidone iodine or betadine, that's the brown iodine solution they use in the emergency room to sterilize wounds, buy it online, costs about $5 for a bottle of betadine, take half a teaspoon, 1.5 ounces of water in a shot glass, get a bulb syringe or a spray bottle, spray it up in the nose over the sink, sniff it back, and spit it out. Do it in each nostril twice. That clears out the sinuses, kills the bug. It's highly effective. It's effective in preventing COVID-19. It's effective in reducing the source of the bug that's causing fever and causing people to be ill. There's so many people get ill with COVID-19, they want a pill or an IV. I said, listen, have you done anything with the nose? They said, no. I said, the problem is in the nose. Kill the virus in the nose with povidone iodine. Rarely somebody has an iodine allergy or they have a hyperfunctioning thyroid, or they're pregnant, and they can do the same thing with dilute hydrogen peroxide, although peroxide burns a bit more in the nose. The dilute povidone iodine doesn't burn at all, and I've done it myself. It's easily done, and boy, does that clean out your sinuses.
Now, just so you're, we're clear, you're saying that's betadine?
Betadine, B-E-T-A-D-I-N-E. That is a 10% povidone iodine solution, half a teaspoon in a shot glass, water. Take a bulb syringe, like a little baby blue syringe or a spray bottle, and spray it up liberally up the nose, sniff it back, and spit it out. You got to get it all the way up and back. And I tell you what, sinus doctors have been doing this for ages. They tell me it's not new. It works great for sinusitis. It works great for other viruses. I was so upset to hear this because I had COVID-19 last year myself. It baked in my nose for 3 to 5 days. I didn't do anything about it because I didn't know about this. And then it invaded my lungs. What a regret. If I would have cut it down again, I would have been blasting betadine up every 4 hours and knocking that virus down. I could have had a much easier course.
Yeah. Tell us about the house toolkit, the house medical kit. What should be in the medicine chest beyond this betadine iodine?
Good. So I get a shoebox. Betadine is in there. If not betadine, hydrogen peroxide. Everyone's got to get it. Thankfully, it's cheap. They should have zinc, 50 milligrams of elemental zinc a day, vitamin D3, 5,000 international units a day, vitamin C, 3,000 milligrams, quercetin, 500 milligrams, and then an oral over-the-counter stomach acid medicine called Pepcid or famotidine, 80 milligrams a day. That actually works against the virus. Have those six things in the kit and be ready to go, to prevent COVID-19 and certainly actively treat it. The prevention is largely with the quercetin and vitamin D, and then the active treatment, we use all five things together.
Okay, and is there a listing on the web or something of these? You said those pretty fast, and people say, I would like to get those things or have access to them. Are they put out somewhere on the web?
Yes, go to truthforhealth.org, truthforhealth.org, the Truth Health Foundation. They have a home treatment guide. They've got all the supplements listed. Another source is the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, AAPSonline.org, another source. And then finally, a third source, to be fair, is the Frontline Critical Care Consortium, flcc.net. Slightly different protocols, but same concepts.
Okay. And, folks, you've heard Dr. Elizabeth Lee, the lead here on the program, truthforhealth.org. Dr. Orient has been on from AAPS, and so you can reference back to some of these interviews as well. We're talking here today with Dr. Peter McCullough, and just talking the truth about COVID-19 and the shot. Dr. McCullough, as you know, there is a huge push going on across the nation right now for children to get the shot. I mean, there's a viral video that's just gone through New York of a young child, looks like he's 5-6 years old, eating in a restaurant, and you've got somewhere between 6 and 10 police officers coming in and asking to see people's vax cards, and this little 5-year-old or 6-year-old, whatever he is being told that he's got to leave the restaurant because of not having this, and the increasing pressures coming on there for parents to send their children to school or to entertainment venues or to go out to eat. Your comments on parents who are wondering, what do we do here?
Terrible. I think it's mass hysteria. I wonder if these people asking about the vax cards know that the vaxes don't cover Omicron, and they really didn't cover Delta. So the vaccine is irrelevant. It doesn't cover the illness anymore. It's like taking an antibiotic that doesn't cover a particular bug.
Mm-hmm. We're told over and over, follow the science, following the science, and whatever Dr. Fauci says, he is science. Your perspective?
Our CDC put out a report on Omicron. It said December 10th, 71% of Americans with Omicron are fully vaccinated. That should tell Americans something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a call to go look for vaccine cards. It's not a call to take more vaccines. That's a call to treat the problem if patients have severe symptoms. It's just people, I think it's mass hysteria, and people are not following even common sense. Even common sense would tell you that the vaccines can't work if 71% of people with the problem have been fully vaccinated.
Doctor, you have been discredited by many since you have not stayed silent on this matter. What measures have been taken to silence you?
You know, I don't think I've been discredited at all. No one's ever sent me a single email, given me a single phone call. No one's actually engaged in the conversation. I think what people have done out of fear is they've just propagated misinformation. There are fact checkers that we've traced back to the vaccine consortia, and they just simply make false statements. I think it's people making false statements. I don't think it's any discrediting at all.
Okay. So what we have, for instance, Francis Collins, who is chief of the National Institutes of Health, he was just on NPR recently, and wanting to track down and deliver justice to those that he thinks has distributed disinformation about COVID-19. And it seems by some of your statements, you don't quite line up with what Dr. Fauci is saying or the CDC.
Either one of them wants to have a conversation. I say, come on over. We'll have a very public conversation about vaccine safety and efficacy. They know where I am. I can tell you right now, they haven't called.
Yeah.
Because they know that they have a problem with vaccine safety and efficacy. So they're not hunting anybody.
Are you getting national media?
I was on Laura Ingram-Anger last night with Sean Duffy, former congressman.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a frequent contributor to Fox News now for well over a year. I have America Out Loud Talk Radio, my weekly report to America. Yesterday I was on Newsmax with Eric Bolling. I have about as much media exposure, I think, than anybody in medicine right now.
Our guest here today is Dr. Peter McAuliffe, and friends, we will be opening phone lines to take your direct questions as well on this issue. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Dr. McAuliffe, what frustrates you the most as in regard to our nation's response to COVID-19?
I think that's a lack of engagement of doctors. Doctors could turn this thing around tomorrow if they rapidly responded to patients in need, provided them the type of basic advice that I've given you and your listeners today, prescribed them simple medicines to help them get through the illness, and made follow-up phone calls. If doctors and not just doctors, but nurse practitioners and physician assistants, if they just got engaged with helping America get through the pandemic, things would be so much easier. We estimate there's 500 doctors right now. We're trying to take care of the whole country, and we're overwhelmed. The phone calls are overwhelming. If we could just get doctors to get off the sideline, overcome their fear, overcome therapeutic nihilism, and get in the game and just help their patients. Even if they don't prescribe any medicine, just give them a phone call. Just let them know that they care. Just show some compassion. I think it would take a lot of anxiety out of America.
Yeah, and yet we have a number of doctors who are just afraid to speak out, either whether it be through the medical administrators, hospital administrators, clinic administrators, because they don't. That doesn't quite toe the line that's coming from the CDC, the NIH, et cetera.
Well, listen, they don't have to speak out. They don't have to be, public figures. But doctors need to be doctors to their patients. They should be calling and checking on their patients. They should be advising on simple measures.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing that level of engagement. Patients contact us absolutely desperate, saying that doctors aren't answering their calls. They're not responsive. They're not showing patients that they care.
Dr. Peter McAuliffe with us. A quick one-minute break. We'll come back. Our lines are packed here with callers from across the nation, so we'll pick up your questions. We don't have time, listeners, for speeches from you, but if you have questions, direct questions you'd like to ask of our guest today, pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia, of communist China, Cuba, Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia, or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free, or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
friends. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Peter McCullough is with us here today. Dr. McCullough is considered among the world's experts on COVID-19. Again, I would probably take a full multiple number of minutes here of our precious time to talk to you about his full background. But, folks, he knows from whence he speaks. He has certainly been in the medical field for many, many years, has numerous peer-reviewed publications, and addressing the issues that are on our plate here today. Now, today we're taking questions. We don't have time for lectures from you, so we have an expert with us on the phone line. So if you have a question, we're going to have you get right to your question. And, again, this is something that we're not going to be able to have you ask for personal medical advice for a particular situation. But if you're asking a general question here as it relates to COVID-19, as it relates to the shot and so forth, we'd like to take your calls here today on Crosstalk. Mark down the number. It is 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Racine, Wisconsin. Lat, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Hi, Dr. Peter. The question I have is, can you tell us one more time over the phone, and then I'll take that off the air, the question of how to mix that Betadine exactly so I can spray that up my nose, and I'll take my question off the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take Betadine, Betadine. It's a brown liquid. I get about $5 on Amazon, and it's a 10% povidone iodine solution. That's what you buy from Amazon. Put half a teaspoon in a shot glass, which is 1.5 ounces, half a teaspoon of that, just hold it out and squirt it out of the bottle to half a teaspoon, fill the rest up with tap water, and then suck it up in a bulb syringe and shoot it up your nose or a spray bottle. And you got to shoot a lot up your nose and then sniff it back and then spit it out. Sometimes you may choke a little bit, but that's actually a good sign that you've gotten it back there and you're killing the virus and clearing out your sinuses.
So when does one do that? Is that just a preventative measure, or once one starts having some symptoms?
I, for months now, tell my patients, if you leave the house and you go out to church, you go shopping, go anywhere, when you come back home and you're done for the day, go ahead and do it. You may have to do it a couple days for prevention if you're running around. And then in active treatment, you start doing it every 4 hours.
Dominique is our next caller. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Dr. McCullough. I've been following you for a long time. We appreciate your truth that you share. And I just wanted to ask three questions briefly. Dr. VandenBosch had said that the more that we vaccinate during a pandemic, the more that produces variants that are immune to vaccines. And obviously, like you just said, the CDC admits 71% of Omicron are vaccinated. Do you think, question number one, do you think this is immune escape? Or do you think some of this is a weakening of the vaccinated people's immune systems? And then question two, do you know in what country or at what time they were able to isolate the COVID virus? And question three, what is the process that they can therefore determine the variants? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There is clear immune escape, and the paper to quote is by Pulliam and colleagues from South Africa. It's clear that Omicron has escaped the immunity of the vaccines, but also natural immunity. So it's the first time that natural immunity has been broken by a new variant, and I want everyone to understand this. Now, the isolation of the virus, viruses don't get isolated, but they are examined through a series of different techniques. The Chinese have done this. Obviously, they have a whole virus vaccine. They have a killed virus vaccine that's called the CoronaVac Sinovac vaccine. So the virus clearly exists. A good paper to quote if you want to actually see proof of the virus, that's CALDIS and colleagues, C-A-L-D-I-S. And then lastly, the sequencing, the full genomic sequencing, identifies the different variants. That's done in Departments of Community Health. It's done by the CDC, and they put out a weekly report of what the general percentage of variants is, and we use that general percentage to tell people what they likely have in clinical practice.
Okay. And is there a process to determine the next variant, or if there is one?
There's always there's what's called variants of interest, VOI, and that's a report comes out by the CDC. The best one actually comes out by the British, the variants of interest report. And then they have VOC, variants of concern, meaning that, listen, these are getting more frequent enough, and it looks like they can really cause damage. So there's VOIs and VOCs. I think there's a total of about 1,200 or so variants, and then the variants of concern get narrowed down. Right now, clearly the biggest concern is Omicron.
Ray is our next caller from Richland, Washington. Ray, you're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. McCullough, I heard something interesting yesterday. It said that the pharmaceutical companies are not liable if it's an emergency use, but they become liable if it's FDA approved, and then they become unliable again if they're put out for children. Is that true? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Thank you.
I'm not an expert, but in general, the vaccine manufacturers have been held free of liability due to a legislation that occurred years ago because there were lawsuits that were arising later on in children who took vaccines, and no one could sort this out. So in the end, they got federal protection. So no matter what the either full approval or EUA, my understanding is the vaccine manufacturers have indemnification or freedom of liability.
From Washington, let's go to the state of Ohio. Michelle, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Doctor, for your truth. I'll make quick statements so that you can address them. First and foremost, the thing I never hear people say and during all of these expert talks is, folks, let's remember this is man-made. Second is, there was a U.S. patent on the original novel COVID in 2005, and then third, 2015 contract with the government and Moderna to make money off of the vaccine that is obsolete now. And my last comment, which is the most shocking, is that in 2003, season 2, episode 14 of the TV series Dead Zone, this virus was played out, and it came to find out the name of it was the coronavirus, and the name of the cure was hydroxychloroquine. So that was 2003.
Okay, doctor, any comment on these statements?
You know, every one of those statements can be cross-checked with Peter Bragan and Ginger Bragan's book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. I wrote one of the introductions. I am focusing on the kind of doctor medical aspects of it and not so much the bigger picture of the planning and execution of what's going on, but the reader sounds like she's really well-researched, and the Bragan book, as well as a book out by Robert F. Kennedy, Pam Popper, Scott Atlas, and Diane Andrews, they all fill in what is a very a large story going on with the execution of a global vaccination program.
Great. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Randy next in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Randy, you're on the air.
Yeah, great program. I've always appreciated Dr. McCullough. Just a couple of things. Why, you know, in his opinion, why does he think that most of the medical establishment seems to be buying in to the media media coverage of it? You know, so, you know, anti-everything but what they CDC and FOSI want to put out.
Okay.
And the other thing was, am I getting the universe right, but didn't Baylor just come out with something that is being – authorized in India under emergency use? Why not the United States? This has been, I think, 10 years in the making. And knowing you, Dr. McCullough, I believe you are a Baylor associate.
Okay. Dr. McCullough.
Well, just to clarify, since I'm under a lawsuit, so yes, I am a graduate of Baylor University, and yes, my office, I'm in a large academic medical center in Dallas, Texas, but I do not claim any affiliation with Baylor Scott & White Health System from an employment perspective, and my opinions don't reflect them, so I have to be careful with respect to current litigation. Baylor College of Medicine and Dr. Peter Hotez announced a vaccine. It's still very early in development that vaccine could be another potential solution, and I agree with what he said. It sounds like it's going to be looked at overseas. I think some of these innovations should be available to the United States. The biggest one I see that's been slow-walked has been Novavax. Novavax is a purified protein, antigen-based vaccine, and I think it's sad that Europe and Australia get it before the United States. It looked a little bit better than Pfizer, Moderna in terms of safety and efficacy.
Mm-hmm. One of his questions, too, had to do with doctors buying into the media narrative. Do you concur with that?
You know, the media narrative, I guess, from a doctor's perspective, is not to do anything. So right now, doctors are not treating COVID-19. They're not taking advocate positions for COVID-19. And so it's a very low energy type of buy-in, if you ask me. It's not like the media is asking the doctors to do anything. The doctors basically are not treating patients with COVID-19.
Thank you, Randy, for the call. Joyce in Fort Scott, Kansas, you're on the air.
Yes, I have two things. Would a neti pot work with the Betadine? And the other thing is, I was with a friend the other day, and she, to me, I wondered whether maybe she had COVID, but she had used a home COVID test, and it came up negative. Does a home COVID test, would it tell whether you had Omicron? Those are my questions.
Thank you.
So with respect to neti pot, if you're using saline in a neti pot, I know that's a good setup. You can add Lugol's iodine, L-U-G-O-L-S. It's a stronger iodine preparation. Put in 2 or 3 drops in that, and that should work out fine. In terms of the home tests have both false positives, false negatives. They should only be used in the setting of acute illness. If they have a strength, it's probably on the true negative side of things. And they can be a helpful aid, but I think if there's serious symptoms, patients should get a PCR test at a low cycle threshold, less than 28, which is what the CDC recommends. And the last thing is, how do you tell which variant you have? You can't really tell from the home kits or even the urgent care centers. It can only be done through full genomic sequencing testing.
Are we doing the right thing by telling everybody to line up and go in and get tested?
You know, I think only if there are significant symptoms. This is so common now. I think almost everybody's going to get Omicron. With only 500 doctors taking care of the whole country, you know, we're going to melt down. So we just need to know about the high-risk seniors.
Yeah. So why are you seeing only 500 doctors are treating this?
The other doctors, the other million doctors that we're aware of, you know, they don't have any treatment program for patients. You know, all the major medical centers have no home treatment programs. There's no treatment clinics. You know, Harvard doesn't have a treatment program for outpatients, or Mayo Clinic or Cleveland Clinic. I mean, these are big centers, and they serve a ton of patients. They have no treatment plans for patients acutely sick with COVID-19 at home.
James is calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. James, you're on the air.
Yes, I listen to Crosstalk every day in Worldview. And what do you think, and I'll take my answer off the air, what do you think about that new one that's supposed to be a Novavax?
Okay, thank you for the call. You alluded to that just a moment ago, said that we didn't get, other countries are getting this before us. Do you have confidence in the Novavax?
I do. I'm very high on Novavax. Its registrational trials look good, over 90% vaccine efficacy, and look very safe. A sore arm, but no systemic effects. And it has longer ranged data than Pfizer and Moderna in the registrational trial program. It's 5 micrograms of the spike protein. It's produced in a process where they actually use moths, insects, to actually produce the spike protein. It's put in a purified matrix and then injected. But there's no genetic material and should not have the systemic types of serious effects that we see with Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J.
We're going to take a quick one-minute break and come back to our final segment here with Dr. Peter McCullough. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, a complaint was filed at The Hague calling for crimes against humanity to be charged against people such as Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci. I don't expect it to go anywhere, but their complaint is very historical and instructive. One of the people that signed onto it is an undertaker from Great Britain that I have personally interviewed. What's perhaps most shocking about their complaint is they have the testimony of those who survived the Holocaust and their warning about the similarities between what happened then and what's happening now. They particularly write about, quote, the medical profession and institutions were radically transformed. Academic science, the military, industry, and clinical medicine were tightly interwoven, as they are now. They go on to describe how the government and the medical profession were interwoven and carried out the eugenics program of the Holocaust. And they're warning it's going to be worse here in America.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Peter McCullough is with us here today. The truth behind COVID-19 and the shot, and taking your calls. Again, we ask that you get right to your question here today. I'm not looking for personal medical advice, just general questions here pertaining to COVID or the shot. And taking that here today on Crosstalk, and really want your questions, not your dialogue on things, listeners, but to ask one who has been studying this and has written on this and certainly knows from whence he speaks. We're going right to Sarasota, Florida. We have Cerise, who is calling. Hi, Cerise, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, and thank you for this program. I wanted to ask, some time ago I heard about the betadine solution to take. So we tried to find the betadine, and they said it had been taken off the market. So we went to the next thing that we thought, and I'm not sure this is right. We got 10% povidone iodine solution, but it says for external use only. I don't know what, if we can't get the betadine. And we were told in several areas that it was taken off the market.
No, let me tell you, you have the right thing. And the same bottle I have at home says the same thing. It is external use. That means you don't swallow it, but it's perfectly fine to use it in the mouth and the nose. In fact, ophthalmologists use it in the eyes. So it's perfectly safe. Just you have the right stuff. So take half a teaspoon in a shot glass, 1.5 ounces of water, and then that's your solution. That's good for the day.
Yeah, I was going to do the neti pot like that earlier caller said. I'm going to do the neti pot with it.
Thank you.
So it would be a half a teaspoon in a neti pot?
Yeah, that may be a bit strong, so you may have to dilute it a bit more.
Great. Thank you, Cerise. Tom is calling from Centerton, Arkansas. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. Same topic as the previous caller, but could one use a Navage to treat one's nose for sinus infection and or COVID instead of a syringe?
I think that's perfectly fine. If you're going to use like a more intensive irrigation system like that, I would switch to probably just saline and Lugol's iodine.
Thank you, Tom. Tony is next, Neillsville, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
I just a couple of comments, and then I'll let you, Doctor. I'm thankful that I get to throw this out there to you. First, I'd like to say that I'm an advocate about making sure that I get to Walgreens every year.
Okay, Tony, Tony, if we can get right to the point, please. Time is precious.
All right. I think this whole thing is all fake. That's my point. It's all...
You mean COVID is fake?
Pardon?
You mean COVID is fake?
Yes. The whole virus thing is fake.
Okay. Well, we have people getting sick, Doctor, do we not?
We do. I think it's a real illness. But I understand the distrust out there since there's really been no transparency from our government to the people.
David in New Berlin, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you, Doctor, for your time. Thank you, Jim, for your program. Appreciate it. Somebody had told me about my brothers had checked out for COVID, and they were treated with monoclonal antibodies. I haven't heard anything about that other than that from them. Doctor, you have an opinion on it?
Yes, monoclonal antibodies are very effective and used early. High-risk seniors over age 65, people over 50 with medical problems ought to seek them, particularly when they're presenting with severe symptoms, and do it early. They definitely work. Former President Trump got them. Governor Abbott got them. Joe Rogan, podcaster, Aaron Rodgers. There's countless examples of good outcomes. I use them every day in my practice.
And how does one obtain that?
Simply call around, see what urgent care stocks them, and find out if they have a scheduled appointment or first come, first serve. They're provided by the government. And so you simply have to call around and find the urgent care or clinic or hospital that offers them.
Okay. Thank you, David, for the call. Tom is calling from Richfield. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I just have a quick question. Does the doctor have a website?
Yes, go to America Out Loud Talk Radio, the McCullough Report.
One more time, slower, Doctor.
America Out Loud Talk Radio, the McCullough Report.
Okay, America Out Loud, that's the McCullough Report. Thank you for the call, Tom. Let's see, Paul is calling from Somerset, Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead, you're on the air, Paul.
Hey, thank you. No, I was just trying to find out some more information on the vaccine shot. I've noticed a lot of people, my brother-in-law just was in the hospital not too long ago from strokes, And while he was in the hospital, I noticed there was like seven other people came in that same 12-hour period that had the same symptoms, had strokes, just like he did. And I just wanted to see if that was any relation to the vaccine shot. I'll take my message. Take it off the air.
Okay. Any connection with the strokes and the vaccine?
Yes, there's a clear connection. A paper published in the journal Hypertension, some people develop a severe hypertensive response after the vaccines, and it results in catastrophic stroke or aortic dissection. So it certainly happens, and it's due to the vaccines.
We have just a couple minutes remaining. Caller from Kansas, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Can I use povidone iodine instead of the betadine or the Lugols?
Yes, povidone iodine is the generic name for betadine. They're the same thing.
Great. Thank you for the caller. Another caller here in Wisconsin. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my phone call. I'll make it quick. I just wanted to affirm what Dr. McCullough is saying. My husband is a physician that treats people all day long, and he uses X-Clear for himself, and he's not been vaccinated. And I'm wondering if that would be something that you could also recommend to people listening, if you thought that was a substitute for the betadine.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, the most studies and the most definitive randomized trials are done with betadine, but things that also work that because it takes almost anything kills the virus is X-Clear, Nozone, Ozone, and colloidal silver. So there's a whole variety of things that can be done. It's just that the best evidence is with betadine. It's just a bit messier, that's all, but works great.
Thank you for your call here today. We're down to just half a minute, and I apologize to other callers here. We're not going to have time for additional calls. But, Doctor, as it relates to this whole topic, what do you want to leave with our listeners here today?
I think everybody's going to get Omicron. I think it is Mother Nature's natural booster. Make sure you don't go crazy with testing. It doesn't need testing, honestly, if you don't have severe symptoms. It's going to last a day or so. Get that 6 components to your home survival kit and line up the center for monoclonal antibodies when, especially if you're elderly and you have high risk features for hospitalization and death.
Dr. McCullough, I know you've been in high demand, but we thank you for carving out this hour of time to join our listeners here today.
Thank you.
Dr. Peter McCullough with us here today on Crosstalk and talking about the truth behind COVID-19 and the shots. And I trust you'll contact us if you'd like to get more information as far as the CD of today's program. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.